I'm Kara Laurent. Thanks for joining me here on WMUK. Today is a special treat because one of Kalamazoo's favorite bands, the Red Sea Pedestrians, is in WMUK's performance studio. I'd like to welcome Bill Caskey, Rachel Gorman, Corey Summers, Ian Gorman, Mike First, and Ben Lau to WMUK. Thank you all for coming today.
Hi, Kara.
Thanks for having us.
Are you excited about playing some tunes for us?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Before we get to the music, however, I do want to catch up with your exciting and storied history to some degree. Let me start with Ian. Tell me about the origins of the band and what you've seen happen in the last decade.
Yeah, it's been a decade. It's crazy. We formed in December of 2005. Our good friends, the Cornfed Girls, have an annual and epic Christmas show, and we decided to form a band playing some traditional klezmer style music to open the Christmas show, you know, just for a little balance in the world. And it went fantastic, and we had a great time, and we started writing more original material. And over the years, you know, we kind of moved away from the traditional sound, and we've also had a lot of changes in the band over the years. The original lineup was Rachel and I, as well as Ira Cohen, Jay Gavin, and Nathan Durham. And over the years, we had Michael Shimon play with us for a while, and Megan McLeod throughout the years, and you know, morphed over time with both personnel and musical changes to the point we're at now.
The first song that you're going to play for us is called Tied to the Wheel, and I've heard you play it live. It's incredibly catchy. You all sound so at home playing this song. Bill Caskey, you and Corey Summers wrote this song. What can you tell me about it?
Well, Corey and I got to writing the tune, and as I was working on words for it, in the initial time that I was writing those words, it was actually Rachel, who ended up singing the song, of course, who suggested, it reminds me of a knife-throwing act. You know, when the poor woman is tied to that wheel, she's spinning around, and I was, oh, yeah, that's it. And but a funny thing about the end of the tune is it kind of gets into thinking about international shipping, and that actually came from my mother-in-law, with the whole container ship thing and going off into a whole other world. She was talking about tied to the wheel of consumption and this whole big thing. Well, I guess that's alluded to anyway. But really, it's the story of a couple that travels the country, you know, small-time circus performers. And she gets up there and he throws knives at her. Craziest thing you can imagine. I don't know who would sign up for that, but
that leads us to the concept of the whole album, I think, which, of course, will be celebrated with an album release party at Bell's Brewery on Saturday. You can find out details at redseapedestrians.com. We have here sort of a mystical, magical world that kind of ties some of the sounds and the lyrics together on this album, which is beautifully portrayed in the artwork, I must say, by a local legend, Paul Sizer. So we're ready to hear the song. You ready to play?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Tied to the Wheel from the Red Sea Pedestrians live here at WMUK in the Yoshimi Takeda Performance Studio. Recorded on one microphone. You're all standing around this single microphone and the sound is fantastic. You guys are terrific, terrific performers. This is one of the catchiest tunes, I think, from the new album, which is called See Through the Eyes of Osiris. You can buy your copy when it's released on Saturday. The concert is at Bell's Brewery. Ian, you're a founding member of Red Sea Pedestrians, and you own a sound engineering business, La Luna Studios. What are some other things you can tell me about the making of this album?
Yeah, well, you know, we've been just, you know, hungry to make a new record ever since we got this lineup together. And we've been so busy with collaborations and different projects over the years. And I think the chance to just kind of wipe our schedule clean, go into the studio for a few months, really focus on this collective work that we're doing together is something that I know brought great joy to me and I hope to everybody else too. And, you know, to take this collection of songs, some of which were written on their own that we've collected over the years or, you know, written ourselves over the years, as well as combining that with songs that started to form once the collection came together. And we saw, oh, we could use a song like this. We could need this piece here. These two songs would be cool if we put another one here. And sort of, you know, it's a combination of found art and intentional art, I suppose.
Is this a concept album?
Well, accidentally, I would say. I would say we did not go into it with any concept, and there's certainly no like narrative that goes throughout the album. But once we got the collection of tunes together, there were some reoccurring themes that kind of lent themselves to paying attention to and to honoring. And to me, a lot of the themes from the album, in both a dark sense and a light sense, deal with rebirth. And Osiris, the album is called See Through the Eyes of Osiris. Osiris was the Egyptian god of death, but also, and arguably more importantly, the god of rebirth. And, you know, of recreation, of matter changing, and kind of the concept that nothing goes away, it just changes form. And how that ties into these other elements of the album that deal with outer space and space exploration or kind of grandiose concepts like that. And there's a connection between all of that with rebirth, about how our elements have all traveled here from other celestial beings, and now we're returning back to our home in deep space from where these elements came from, and just about how as a human species, we're at the time of rebirth and reinvention of ourselves.
This is somewhat peculiar to the era that we grew up in. I mean, I remember the 70s being filled with mysticism and out there ideas and just a lot of great science fiction. I read that back then. I feel like this album is like reintroducing magic back, you know, and remembering what it was like to have that hazy sense of, wow, anything could really happen to our lives.
Well, that's great to hear. I certainly feel that way about the group. And I feel like with this collection of people and all of our varied interests and tastes and weirdness and all of those wonderful things that I cherish, that you know, it's we could go anywhere with it and explore all kinds of different musical paths as well as lyrical and conceptual paths. And it's almost like the unifying theme is that there's no unifying theme in a way.
One thing that Red Sea has always done is include instrumentals in your albums. You've always, focused heavily on the dance when necessary. So, Ian, you've written the next track that we're going to hear, and it's called This Way to the Egress. Are you showing someone the door here?
Well, that comes from a famous P.T. Barnum story that when P.T. Barnum created his Barnum's American Museum in New York in, I want to say, the 1870s, 1890s, somewhere in there, late 19th century, his biggest problem was that there were too many people coming in and it would get all congested and like he couldn't turn over the crowd and get the money, fresh money coming in. So he started to put all these signs around going, this way to the egress, the great, wonderful egress, this way. And of course, a lot of people didn't know what that meant. They thought it was some giant, you know, bird from, you know, far away or something. Oh, the egress, we got to check that out. And it would just, of course, egress means exit. And they would follow the arrows and it would just take them out to the alley where they had to repay to get back in if they wanted to.
Sucker born every minute. why don't we get back to the music and have you guys play This Way to the Egress here on WMUK, live in the Takeda studio. It's the Red Sea Pedestrians. As promised, a great dance tune from the Red Sea Pedestrians from their new album. We heard them playing live here in the studio at WMUK. The new album is called See Through the Eyes of Osiris. The tune was This Way to the Egress. Great job, guys. Thank you so much for playing here today. And congratulations on the new album. I know you're excited about the release on Saturday at Bell's. So if I can turn to the two lead instrumentalists, in a way, up in the treble range, we have clarinetist Rachel Gorman and violinist Corey Summers. Here's where I want to get a little technical. I know you both have classical backgrounds. At some point in your lives, you worked on major and minor scales, getting them perfectly in tune, one after another, over and over and over. And you've had to kind of abandon that sound for this folk scale. Can you talk a little about the transition or what it feels like to play in this style?
Sure.
This is Corey.
I've always been drawn to the harmonic minor. I'll call it harmonic minor in my world of classical training. I want to say the transition, it was so long ago. It was like 7 years ago. And I remember I was asked to join the group, and I remember having to write new solos. And I remember, it's a piece that we haven't played that we kind of took off our list now. I can't remember what it was called. 1 Mile Wide. And I wrote a new solo for that. And that was my first go at writing in that key, harmonic minor. And I had a newborn at the time, so I remember I'd be up at like midnight, 1 in the morning, trying to figure out these new scales. The transition was awesome. I loved it. It was fun. It was, you know, finger patterns form over the years and muscle memory kicks in, so I did have to retrain my muscles from spending, you know, I'd spend a good 2 to 4 hours a day in those practice rooms at Western practicing arpeggio scales and etudes. So transitioning into that, making the stretches in my fingers were a different feeling, but I love the sound, so it wasn't that difficult to transition.
And in classical, you do want a really homogeneous type of
like tone
production throughout the scale for the entire piece. And here, things can get a little more looser.
Yeah, we finally get to be free. I love it. I love bending notes and sliding notes and not having to be perfect. That's one of my favorite things.
Rachel, were you ever able to meet or study with or just hang out with a hero of klezmer clarinet?
No, not really.
You've had to use your ears and records and things like that?
I have. And I can't say that I've adopted a truly klezmer style, but like Corey was saying, I too love, you know, being able to be free with bending and scooping, and I can use vibrato, which is awesome. if I want to, yes, I can. So that part is definitely fun. When the group first formed, there was a heavier concentration on klezmer music, so I got more of an, in-depth, I guess a word I'm looking for is immersion into like the harmonic minor and the Frege-ish scales. And one of the very first tunes that the group did was called Whiskey Stealer, and it was basically that scale over and over again that just really helped kind of seed it for me. But at this point, you know, after 10 years of playing this music and not much else, a major scale honestly feels a little weird for me to play.
Okay, now for illustration purposes, I am going to sing a major scale. You will then alter it to the harmonic minor, okay?
Okay.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
La 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 la.
Thank you.
Was that correct?
It sounds like the harmonic minor to me.
Yeah.
And it sounds much harder than what we grew up with.
You know? True. But once it becomes more that muscle memory, more that it for me it's a more fun scale to play with than some of the more straight up.
Does something that sounded dark at first now seem light and full of life and fun?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The scale doesn't necessarily mean now we're in a scary place.
Right. Yeah.
To me, it feels like now we're in like a grounded, earthy, let's get together kind of place. I feel like it's very community scale.
Ben, I'd like to talk to you about what you were doing on this piece. It looks like, and I've never met you before, so hi.
Hello, pleased to meet you.
Thank you. Pleased to meet you as well. Where did you learn percussion and drumming?
Well, I started musically as a piano player, and in the school district I attended, if you were a piano player, they tried to tap you to be a percussionist because you already understood the keyboard layout for the like the mallet instruments and things like that. So I distinctly remember in the sixth grade deciding, do I want to play the percussion or the flute? Percussion or the flute? And I just arbitrarily went with being a percussionist.
Where was this?
That was over in Battle Creek, not too far from here, Battle Creek Lakeview. And the percussion instructor and band director over there, Darren Schmidt, was really instrumental for me. Instrumental. In just really developing that love of music and specifically the love of percussion. He was a percussionist, which was kind of unusual for like a school band director to not be a woodwind or a brass player.
Yeah.
And that was really fun for us as young kids, you know, to for him picking material that really featured percussion instruments and really kind of showed the range of what can be done with percussion, as not just, you know, snare drum and bass drum and cymbals and all that. So I started playing percussion in the sixth grade, and that was just classical percussion. And then in high school, I, you know, started hanging out with my buddies and, you know, bought some pieces from a drum set at was it Music Galaxy, maybe? Is that the place that was out by the airport at one point? Mm-hmm. I remember buying a red sparkly bass drum and a half of a hi-hat one afternoon. I was like, I want a drum set, you know. It's like, no, you don't. But it was close enough for me. And really everything has just kind of spiraled from there, and just high school and then college, just interacting with different people, meeting some of these folks, and just kind of playing whatever, you know.
Your community, your fellow musicians really value you for your ears. You went so far beyond just holding down a rhythm or a beat.
Sure.
You're also well into the production world, the sound recording world as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ian was a huge influence for me. And we both have a similar influence in John Campos as a faculty member here at Western.
Oh, of course.
And so about the time I met John, I met Ian as well. And you were just back from Chicago, I think, at that point. And, I've grown up in terms of like audio production around Ian and around John, and it's made for a really nice working collaboration environment for us in this group, and to really be able to experiment. And so for quite a while, I was just the audio person, just the live sound person for this band, and handling some of the studio stuff too. And it was that, I think that was very helpful for me jumping in when it was time to change drummers, and that it was nice to have a background in the songs already. Like, I know what solo is coming up. I know what's, you know, what's going to happen. That was, I think, made the transition smoother than it probably should have been at the time.
Well, Red Sea Pedestrians has never not had an outstanding percussionist in the group. It's something that kind of carries through the entire decade. And I think another secret weapon over here would be Mike First, who also joined in the last for this project. Yes.
Yeah, actually, last fall, there's a big music festival up in Northern Michigan called Earthwork Harvest, Harvest Gathering. And that was actually my first official show with the band. So middle to end of September, I think. Last fall, and then over the winter, we did a Wellspring collaboration here in town, downtown at the Epic Theater, and that was a lot of fun. And then, of course, you know, most of the late winter, early spring has been spent in the studio.
Do you like a challenge, Mike?
Certainly do. It was an honor to have been asked to join the group. You know, of course, we've been friends for a long time. I'm also a member of the Corn Fed Girls, so we've collaborated many times in the past. But on top of that, we're buddies and we're friends. I mean, we have these guys come over to my house and play wiffle ball in the backyard at night, and so we have a lot of connections outside of music. But that said, it was really very much an honor to have been asked. I've always had just an amazing amount of respect for this group and the level of talent involved, and to be a part of that was really something that I've been something I look forward to. So I had an opportunity where I work to kind of take a slightly different role, which allowed for a little bit more free time. Shortly thereafter, after I'd made that decision, I was like, what did I just do? Because it was kind of a pay cut too. But then this offer came along and it was really like, well, wait a minute, maybe I made the right decision, because this is really where my heart lies. You know, don't get me wrong, I love my job, but music is what gets me out of the bed in the morning. So I was really flattered and honored to be a part of this collective and throw what I can into the mix.
Well, the last person we have to check in with here is one of the other primary songwriters of the group now, I would say. Bill, you're responsible for several great songs
Carol.
New album. How about you tell us about your song, Morning Glow, before we hear it live in the studio?
Sure. It's my pleasure to serve as a youth services librarian here in Kalamazoo. And along with that work, we get some really interesting questions. I had never heard of the Mothman before. And the Mothman is a cryptid, it turns out, whose story is intimately connected with the Silver Bridge. And Morning Glow is a song off this record that is all about that bridge and looks at how humans come up with solutions for why bad things happen. And I find that really interesting. It turns out that this cryptid known as the Mothman.
What is a crypt?
Well,
what's the word you're saying?
A cryptid like Bigfoot or Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster.
Legend.
Those are well-known cryptids. They are beings, mysterious beings that, people think they're real, Some people think they are not real. Well, it turns out the Mothman is a cryptid with a history right here in the United States. As soon as I started looking into this reference question for this young person, I discovered that the Mothman was blamed for the collapse of the Silver Bridge, which spanned the Ohio River from Gallipolis, Ohio, to Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And a few years earlier, folks around there swore they'd seen this creature flying in the sky, sort of like a human, but sort of like a moth. And I thought that was pretty interesting. It really is a song, though. It is based in a true tragedy in American history, ultimately an engineering failure that engineers actually learned a lot from. It's interesting to me how people blamed it on aircraft tests. Maybe it was a sonic boom. Maybe it was a curse from a Native American chief from hundreds of years earlier. Or maybe it was the Mothman in the sky. I find that very interesting when it turns out that really it's just a simple engineering failure. So,
well, here's Red Sea Pedestrians bringing mystery back into our lives with the song Morning Glow. We'll hear Bill Caskey on vocals and guitar, Rachel Gorman clarinet, Corey Summers violin, Ian Gorman on banjo, Mike First on bass, and Ben Lau on drums here on WMUK.
Driving down from Kokomo, the heat is broke, the sun is sinking low. Christmas time again, you know, silver bells playing on the radio. Down to wake the kids until the Silver Bridge. Rock our towers oscillate with the rush hour traffic's weight. Strains the chains of I-bars, engineered for Model T's, not the 1960s. Cars and trucks all traversing aluminum painted lanes of steel high above the water. It's been long enough that we can tell the story in a song. Okay, never in a joke, you know the one about the man who went to see the doctor with the bladder on the bridge above the cold Ohio. Days gone by, or the Mothman in the sky. Pick a Rorschach blot to blame. Oh, doctor, you're the one with all the dirty pictures. After all of the emergency responders get a start. Mr. Know-it-all would say that we were made to fall apart. Still the silver bells sounding on. Frigid mid-December day, 46 who fell away with the bridge below them. Speculation propagates like the ripple on the wave. Explanations glimmer, but when the morning glow is gone, afternoon will be alone. Thank you.
live at WMUK. It's the Red Sea Pedestrians in the Yoshimi Takeda studio performing an original song by Bill Caskey called Morning Glow. The song is one of 11 new songs on their new album called See Through the Eyes of Osiris. You can hear the songs and buy the CD in person on Saturday at Bell's Brewery. What time does the show start, guys?
Doors open at 8, music starts at 9.
Is it safe to say that on pretty much every Red Sea Pedestrians album, Ian, you have a song that kind of gets you a little verklempt? I remember one on a couple albums ago, a song of yours, We'll Be Sky, kind of put me in that place that I love to go. I mean, if I'm going to really fall in love with a band, it has to have at least one song that you feel really hard, you know?
Oh, thanks, Kara.
And I think you've done it again here. And I'd really actually appreciate hearing the finished album version that you brought along a copy of the album. So lucky enough, we can hear some of the magic you created in the studio with this. Talk about We Are So Small.
Well, when you start studying astronomy and thinking about the universe as a whole, which I've done in a very, very novice armchair way, you know, some Neil deGrasse Tyson and some Carl Sagan, and, you know, the first reaction is, oh, man, we're so nothing compared to the vast distances of time and space, and that can be difficult to think about and kind of, you know, rattle your brain. But following that is kind of the larger picture and realizing, no, it's not that we're tiny. We're actually part of something far bigger than we can even comprehend, than we can even see, and our connection to the cosmos and the idea that, you know, a lot of scientists say that the elements that we are made up, that our entire world are made of, have traveled here from other stars, from supernovas, from asteroids, from whatever. You know, we are part of this giant thing, and by studying it, by exploring it, which I think is, you know, the most interesting frontier we have as humans, is what lies beneath the sky. By studying that, in a sense, we are returning to our elemental roots and getting back to the things that we are made from in an ancient sense, you know, dating back millions or billions of years. To me, that's really interesting.
Well, here's the album version of We Are So Small from the new album See Through the Eyes of Osiris. The CD release concert is at Bell's on Saturday.
I was but a speck, a blink of an eye, dwarfed by the colossus of time. A barely there tourist, along for the ride, in a cradle of infinite sky. I feared our knowledge and grace would leave hardly a trace. We are so small you can't see us at all in the vastness of unbounded space. We'll be right back. So now we long to take to the sky and traverse the reaches of space, returning our bodies back to the source that lent them to this delicate place. We'll ask the forces unknown, are we out here all alone? They'll say, you are so small we can't see you at all, but we love you, come on back home.
I'm with the members of the Red Sea Pedestrians here at WMUK, and they've just shared a track off their brand new album, yet to be released. It'll be available at the CD release concert on Saturday at Bell's Brewery. We just listened to We Are So Small, and Ian, this is a song you wrote. Something I took from it is that you could call it an existentialist song, like who are we, why are we here? But it ends with kind of a message of hope.
Absolutely, yeah. That was the idea, is that the narrator of the song starts in sort of a spot of despair and questioning their own place in the universe, and by the end of the song, they've realized that they're part of something much larger and grander than they could even comprehend.
May I say, knowing your background of picking apart and creating Beatles albums in a live setting, there might be a touch of that influence, I think, from late Beatles albums.
Oh, absolutely.
We do acknowledge that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Not an insult or anything.
I don't trust anyone that isn't influenced by the Beatles. No, it's hard to be a fan of experimental pop music and not reference them on a regular basis. But, you know, I feel like with the palette that we have, with all the instruments everybody plays, and not just the instruments we play live, but everybody in this band plays a wide variety of instruments, in the studio being able to explore that and layer and produce and put things on that we couldn't put any other way, and being able to have everybody bring their own style and their own skills to the song. And, you know, to me, it's just the thing I really love about this group is, you know, it, for instance, and We Are So Small, you know, basically I had some chords for the bridge and I just said, hey, you know, Corey and Rachel, could you come up with something beautiful? Here's some chords. Oh, thank you. That's great. All right, you know, and it's a treat, you know.
Well, we're near the end of our time here together. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to members of the Red Sea Pedestrians. Their new album is See Through the Eyes of Osiris. It'll be available on Saturday at the CD release party at Bell's. I would like to go around and fill in this last bit of time with things we missed or final thoughts that sum up your feelings about this point in time, this project. Mike first, how about you go first?
Sure. You know, again, just so excited to have been a part of the whole process, and very much looking forward to getting it out there and sharing it with everybody else.
Corey?
I feel the same. I feel a lot of gratitude and thankfulness towards all of these lovely people. This has been a great project. Nice to step away from my day job and from the other life that I live. So this has been really, really great to spend some time in the studio and spend some time in the studio with my husband that I don't often get to do. So it's been really nice to be in the same space as Bill Caskey.
Gosh, I missed my Barbara Walters moment. Having two couples in the band, are there any issues of communication and power struggle? Oh, laughter.
The gentlemen know when to shut up.
Very good.
Doesn't mean we do, but we know that we were supposed to a few minutes ago.
Last thoughts, Rachel?
It's just been a pleasure coming together again as a band. It's been a few years since our last album, and with the new lineup, it's just been so fun creating with you know, the newer members of the band bringing their own influences in, and just seeing those gentle shifts and sometimes not so gentle shifts in sound and style that just make it so much fun.
What are your thoughts, Ben?
Boy, well, Rachel kind of stole one of my points there, but it's been quite a while for this band between albums, and I'm just really excited to be a part of this album. I've been a part of the other albums, but not in the same capacity that I am now, like playing the drums and, you know, contributing more musically. And it's I just feel really honored to be a part of the group, and I'm just really excited to get it out there.
And excited about Bells too, I'm sure.
Oh yes. Oh yeah, Bells is always a great time.
How about you, Ian?
I would like to mention that I'm very proud that this is our first album officially on Earthwork Music, which is a Michigan-wide artist collective, really, more than a label, of dozens of different artists creating wildly interesting and original music in all kinds of genres with a focus on environmentalism and social justice and community. And this is our first official release with the collective, and that feels really good.
Well, I'm going to ask you, Bill, to take us to the song that will take us out of the studio here at WMUK. And thanks again, by the way, to all of you for taking a big part of your day, in the middle of the day, to come to our studios and give it your all in front of the one microphone. So well done. I mean, unforgettable.
Oh, thanks, Kara. Yeah, we're just all so excited about this new recording. You know, I celebrated 3 years with this band on June 8th, and it's just been so much fun. Wrote a song that's on, it's the last piece on the record, and it's a piece that I wrote before I was a member of the band. It was at a time when I was a band dad. So Corey and I had these two kids, we still do, wonderful kids, and, you know, they were in stroller at that time, and I just remember being in the audience, and I never got tired of hearing the Red Sea Pedestrians. I love it so much. And anyway, I love working with this group because I think everyone has a very yes and mentality. We're very open to each other's ideas and what can we do with those ideas? Where can we go with those? And very reinforcing kind of way to be. The next song, Sleepwalk Dreamin', is kind of a lighthearted one, if you will.
We're ending at the beginning.
That's right.
This is the first. This song appears first on the new album.
Sure, yeah. Sleepwalk Dreamin' is it's a nod to the great Mike Birbiglia, if you're familiar with his comedy work and Sleepwalk With Me. The premise in Sleepwalk Dreamin' is a poor fellow who sleepwalks every night thinking that his lady love still loves him, but she doesn't. and all the misadventures he gets into. So each verse is kind of a different dream event. And of course, the end takes another colossal ride out into who knows where. So,
well, once again, Red Sea Pedestrians here on WMUK. You can see them live on Saturday at Bell's Brewery. The new CD will be available then. Music starts at 9 o'clock. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sarah.
Sleepwalk dreaming you still love me, and I wake up and remember I'm alone. I keep sleepwalk dreaming you still love me, and I pretend you haven't blocked my number from your phone. Each night my steely will make me make believe you love me still. When I keep sleepwalk dreaming you still love me, then I wake up and remember I'm alone. Last night you rang my doorbell in the morning. Then we were laughing, having coffee, you and I. Patio table seated, people watching. Then the gaucho with the latte shows I ramble off again. Another fitful night, one more somnambulistic flight of honey. I keep sleepwalk dreaming you still love me. Then I wake up and remember I'm alone. Thank you.
the piano in the parlor with the nocturnes every night. Your phosphorescent gown begins to glow with the light. And as my hourglass is filled to overflowing, my spinous figures on your Steinway start to flood the concert hall. So I run to get a pop, that's when my dream comes to a stop. Oh honey, I can sleepwalk dreaming you still love me. Then I wake up and remember I'm alone. Sleepwalking alone.
Red Sea Pedestrians live at WMUK in the Yoshimi Takeda studio, recorded by sound engineer Martin Clem. We heard Rachel Gorman on clarinet, Corey Summers on violin, Ian Gorman, banjo, Bill Caskey, guitar, Mike First on bass, and Ben Lau on percussion. You can see them live this Saturday in their CD release concert at Bell's Brewery. Details at redseapedestrians.com. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for tuning in.